Welcome to Salcedo Paranormal. It is, let's see here, what day is it? It is Wednesday, March 15th, 2023, and I forgot to turn on streamer mode. And today I am covering paranormal news. As always, you can find all the links to the podcast episodes and social media and other ways to contact me at the podcast page. And that is salcidoparanormal.podbean.com. That's SalSido paranormal.podbean.com. Always happy to hear from you all, whether you have comments or questions or topic suggestions or stories of paranormal experiences, whether they're your own or from others that you trust. Happy to either read those or have you join me on the show to talk about them. So I have several stories here from the news, basically, to share with you all tonight. I put them all in the stream chat channel here, in the text channel, and we will get through as many as we can and save the rest for the next news show. And this time we have some actual UFO-related articles, which is always nice when they're witness, basically, sightings of from people. And similar things, so I'm glad that I was able to find these today. This first one is from newsshopper.co.uk. It says, watch as Aerith, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, sky is lit up by UFO. And of course it has a video, so I definitely recommend checking out all these articles because they have pictures and videos. So apparently a person living in this area is convinced they have seen and they have footage of a UFO lighting up the sky. And it was filmed from their flat or apartment window. So it says that now the video shows a bright blue light, which is amazing because, again, I've had interaction with a blue light before. Says it hovers near the top of a nearby building, and this happened on Saturday, March 4th. So the light apparently is projecting moving blue spots of light onto the sky, making almost the appearance. So basically making it seem like a UFO. It says that the witness looked off their balcony on Saturday evening and saw a lot of repetitive moving lights in the sky. They say that they do believe in aliens and similar things, and that's a possibility of those lights having something to do with that, I guess, and UFOs. So let's see here. So it says the video was recorded at night. So that means the lights can be seen clearly against the dark. Also, apparently, according to a local arena, an organization in the UK known as UFO Identified, there's been a total of 497 sightings reported across England, Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland in 2022. So apparently there were, let's see here, let me go back and check on that number. So apparently the number per year has, increased over the last couple of years. So, based on the other figures they have in this article. Let me see here. They mentioned that, most people, they kind of try to explain the sightings as far as why there's so many sightings. But there's more to the article here, but I definitely recommend checking it out and getting all the rest of the stats and those data points that they mention in the article. So that's it for that one. And like I said, hopefully y'all can hear me. So that's the first article I wanted to share. So we'll move on from that one. to the next one. And this is from Lincolnite.co.uk. And this says UFO spotter captures massive bright light in the sky over Lincoln. And they believe it was a UFO and not a plane. Again, there's that sort of a use of, I don't know, that term UFO. I think it does. I never used to really think of it this way, but I guess I can see how people would say this, that it gets the term UFO becomes equated with aliens, and that's not really what it is. It's just an object that is flying that can't be identified. So, unidentified flying object. But the witness says that, let's see here. There's this UFO enthusiast in this area that thinks he may have spotted something in the city skies. His first name is actually Michael. Says he's been fascinated with UFOs since he was young. And let's see here. Doesn't believe that what he saw was a plane. He was in his home, back garden, basically, on Monday evening. I'm not sure. It doesn't say what date. But at least not here. Apparently, this light stayed in the sky, hovering for about 10 to 15 minutes before suddenly moving really fast to another spot. And so, apparently, there's pictures here. And let me look at this real quick and see. Because I think, so it does say light. Apparently, the light turned off before appearing back on for another 5 minutes and then disappeared. And then, let me see here. So it disappeared and then came back and then reappeared and then eventually was gone. So, it's kind of funny. That light looks almost like, I don't know. It reminds me of the light that I saw in a way. Except mine was blue. But just that circle, that full circle. But anyway, not that I'm trying to make this all about my own sighting, but he said the witness said it moved and came back to the same place again. The moon was below the light. And so apparently there were no sounds or from any kind of aircraft at first. Of course, they mentioned that he was thinking that it might be a Chinese balloon, of course, because of all the news recently. But, so let's see here. It's just a neat sighting there. And, the light that would move around and fade out or turn off, basically, fade out and then come back on again. And, neat story there. Possible sighting. So, moving on to the next article here. Let's see here. I like the title of this next article. It's just as Matt says in there. If it's an object that's flying and can't be identified, it's a UFO. So, yes, exactly. This next article here is from, Northampton. Cron, which I'm guessing means Chronicle, .co.uk. And I just like the title here in a way because it's kind of funny. But the title says, Father and Daughter Go Full Conspiracy Mode, after spotting UFO over Northampton skies one day before Sonic Boom. Now, I will just say real quick, the article near the end, it does mention that the next day there was a sonic boom reported, and it was verified by the local military that there was, in fact, a aircraft from them that was authorized to break the sound barrier. So, I know I've heard of witnesses in some of these articles before where they've tried to, they've sort of hinted at maybe the objects being associated with the sonic boom somehow. But so far, I haven't seen anything where, in any of these articles that I've ever found where the object was seen and then it was not, and then there was a boom right away. So I don't know what to make of all that. So apparently that was so this is a father and his daughter. The father was driving because the daughter's a kid, a child, and so that both of them saw something in the sky above Moulton College. And this took place on Friday, March 3rd at 5 p.m. And the father said that he was driving his daughter to a sports function when she saw something in the sky that was moving at an irregular speed that was faster than a plane. It appeared to be metallic, but no wings. And so as the father was driving, he gave the phone to her to try to zoom in on it, and so she managed to get a picture of it, apparently. And so at first they saw it coming into the back end of Moulton, coming from a different area, and they lost sight of it over the Moulton College gym building area. They say it wasn't a plane. They don't think it was a plane, and the speed it was moving at was odd. I'm wondering if they mean that was just fast, or if it was going at different speeds. They say that, based on the footage, or the picture, it does appear to look similar to some other UFO sightings of cylindrical objects. Let's see here. Moving on here. Both of them said that after that happened, they've really gotten into the whole topic, and they suspected with the sonic boom the next day that again the military had something to do with the light from the day before. So, but let me see here. So yeah, I guess where they get the, and apparently it is the father and daughter that say that they've. That's the whole conspiracy mode part of it. Let's see, checking on more of it. There's mentions here near the end of the article that the last time this particular news outlet recorded a UFO sighting in the area was in 2019, when a strange ball of light in Brixworth appeared to swirl around the sky for no apparent reason for a few seconds before disappearing, which they have a video of that in this article as well. So it's neat to find some of these sightings here. So, and as it seems to be pretty common that I find just as many articles about these kinds of sightings over in the UK as I do in the U.S. So that's a neat point right there. Let's see here. Moving on to the next article. I like this one in a way because I sort of get where the person that's mentioned in the article is. They went on a familiar path to me. I'll just say that. This article is from. Let's see here. Leicester, I'm not sure how to say that, mercury.co.uk, and it says, man who saw a triangle-shaped UFO takes deep dive into the paranormal. Now, it mentions that Colin, is his first name, had a sighting, and let's see here. So this was a massive triangular aircraft 24 years ago, so 1999. Let's see here. So Callan, it says, has been looking into this topic. And then now he's been looking into reports, talking to people in the area about their own experiences. And apparently this he wasn't alone. He's with his wife and daughter and mother-in-law when they all saw this giant triangular craft. It says ripple into existence at the side of the Fossway before turning up into the sky and flying off. So that was March of 1999. And the fact that it kind of just appeared, that's pretty amazing. So either it was cloaked or it somehow materialized there. And so because of all this and then all of his other research, and other experiences, apparently, so I forgot about this part. So once in a while he would be fishing by the river Soar, at Bothley. He would hear footsteps behind him on a farmer's field, and he said that he thought it could be someone hunting or shooting. So he went up to the bank to let them know that he was there, but there was no one there when he got there. So, and even though he could still hear footsteps, so that's interesting. So obviously there was no one present there. He thought it could be a big cat, which there is. There are reports of what I've heard the term used, alien big cats, or black cats in some cases. But there's still nothing visible, even when he looked around. And so, but all these things, and he's talks about his ideas of UFOs and other, basically the UFO that he saw coming from a parallel dimension. But it mentions here that he, over the years, this led him to make a book about all this. And I think that's amazing because I get that. I did a similar thing years ago now. And put out a couple of my own books on the topic, and I'm still working on one now. And so I think it's amazing that these kind of things happen to people. And there are a lot of people that may sort of try to hide it or not talk about it, but then there's others that really get into this. And I'm always glad to see other people getting into this and still doing research, but also putting out material out there, not because just because of money, but because they want to get these stories of these experiences out there to more people. So just wanted to share that because I thought that was really neat that there's other people out there doing that similar kind of thing, whether it's through books or podcasts or whatever it may be. So, and I can tell you for sure that just because you put out a book does not mean you're going to automatically make a ton of money. Just putting that out there. Anyway, that's all I'll say on that. So yeah, that's it for that article here. And so let's see here. I'm gonna jump ahead here to one last article. I think we have time for one more. And it's actually the last article on the list, but I want to share it because I think it's amazing that a major outlet such as this, which is ancient-origins.net, is actually using and talking about basically about hauntings and ghosts. And whereas a lot of their other articles I've seen, they really do focus on sort of archaeological news and reports, and I mean, they do talk about folklore and everything, but and they do sort of hedge their bets a little bit in the article. They mention there's no proof of any of the stuff they talk about in the section that talks about ghosts, but still, it's just neat to see an article about this. So that, again, I already said that the website, this title of this article is The Haunted Plague Island of Poveglia. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. A Dark and Twisted Past. Now, this is an island that, small island located between Venice and Lido, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, in the Venetian Lagoon. It was used back during times when the plague was around in the 18th and 19th centuries. That's where they were sent to basically to be quarantined. And then also eventually, because of so many people that went there, they ended up being buried there. And of course, after that, on top of all of that, it was even later used as an asylum for the mentally ill, and did not have the best track record there. So it started out as a great island for agriculture, but then of course once the plague came around, it had to be put to other uses. And they talk about the plague in this article and then the asylum, but they mention that there's a lot of people that have reported paranormal activity there. And I've heard this over the years too. I've heard of this place before. They mention it's not open to the public now, but mentions that due to the nature of the disease of the plague, many of the people that were sent there that were ill never returned, it says. And so there are as many as 160,000 people that passed and were buried on the island between the 18th and 19th centuries. And says that some records even say that because the mortality rate was so high, the amount of space on the island became an issue. Let's see here. So it mentions the asylum, which was known to be terrible and cruel, which eventually did close down. And mentions here, the next part talks about the paranormal side of everything. And it just says, and I can see where they're coming from here, mentions that because of all of this, the plague and then the asylum there, it's considered to be haunted. And people had experiences there, even though now you can't go there. It's private property. But there have been many reports of sightings and noises on the island. Including the sounds of screams, moans, and laughter coming from the abandoned buildings. Some people have reported feeling a sense of dread or unease when visiting the island. I could see that just from all the energy that people would have left behind there. And then, of course, there are some people that claim they've even been physically attacked or pushed by unseen forces. Mentions that the isolation and abandonment of many years have led to it being a haunted place, that reputation of this being a haunted place. And it mentions again that the island is off limits. It's private property. It's also because of the amount of people that have been buried there, and then just the small size of the island, it has been sort of breaking down. Now, the other part in this article I wanted to mention, is that they're considering making it someday a tourist destination. So I sort of hope they don't, but that's just me. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that article up. Thank you all for listening, and I'll be back tomorrow with the rest of the Everything's Eventual book review on the next episode of Salcedo Paranormal. Take care, everyone.